The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend. Check this.
Well, it's a very good evening and welcome along to the DL Debate on this Monday night. Oisin Kelly and Pádraig Hulfreidy sitting in for Brendan Devaney once again. And just to confirm that he's not still celebrating with St. Eunan's Park, he's actually doing a bit of work.
Did you get your postcard back yet, did you?
Been a long time before we get a postcard from but Brendan's not here tonight, so myself and Pádraig's going to sit in and try and fill the void. We'll do our best, but we've got a couple of distinguished guests with us tonight. Joining us in the studio, delighted to say, recently crowned Donegal Senior B winner with Gudor, Eamon McGee. How are you?
Good, Oshie. I'm just thinking now, three of us have been through the twins, so we could actually do a podcast.
That's a good way to start a show.
We could actually do a podcast on how to parent twins there now.
Yeah. We could be here for a couple of hours.
A few horror stories there.
Yeah.
How to avoid sleep there, huh?
Yeah.
Top five tips.
Any footballers in your house?
Potential footballers, if we can just get them away from the switch there. Switch or PlayStation now. And the thing about it, he's probably going to play for Unions. That's the thing. he was the reserve final you were chatting about. Yeah. He had a Unions jersey on him. It's something I would be kind of feel strongly about. Like, where you're brought up is your club. Obviously, I'd love him to play for Gidover, but your club is where you're born now. So
Uncle Neil will be.
Uncle Neil was ready just to throw him over the fence.
Well, I left Letterkenny and went to Termon. So Pádraig stayed where he was, born and reared, in Termon. So Termon,
you know, it's good to get it. You know, we get very little out coming out from Letterkenny out that direction. So,
we've all got something in common as well. You won a championship, Eamon, this year. St. Eunan's have won a championship this year. Termon have won a championship this year. There's another connection there, along with the twins.
And
Michael McMullen's on the other line here, and he's probably wondering what is going on in the studio. Hey, Michael.
Not too bad. I wonder would the twins be easier looked after than the V over in New York?
we were trying to keep it quiet that he wasn't in New York, Michael.
Right. Very good. I just sunk him off.
Yeah. And I'm sure he's having a wonderful time. So he is.
I thought John Harn had sent him away in gardening leave. I wasn't sure what the story was.
John Harn could be with him. So he could. But anyway, welcome to the program, Michael. Lots to sort of go through, and in particular rules and things that happened over the weekend. And what was your, I suppose, look on the rules, Michael, over the weekend? We had, what, four games, Friday and Saturday. I suppose, is the general feeling with you that this is a good thing to move forward with these seven core enhancements, or at least some of them anyway?
I think I enjoyed what I saw on view for a start, you know, for what it was. It was four trial games. I don't think it's probably fair to judge whether we take them forward based on those games, but I did like what I saw. We have to change in some way. I do feel there's a lot of resistance out there where people want to throw all the new rules out the window, which I don't think's right either. There has to be some sort of middle ground, which I don't know, maybe that's where the pre-season competitions comes in, you know, where maybe that happens at county level and maybe we have some sort of a pilot scheme where you have, I don't know, maybe two clubs from every county playing in a national competition where it can be tested at club level and probably more importantly, tested among a team that's used to playing together. So that's where I sit, but I would have to commend the FRC. You know, they've obviously went away. There's people who've played at a very high level on it and managed at a very high level. And, you know, they obviously just didn't make it up as they went along. They did an awful lot of studying at it. So I think they need to be respected as well. And I would say that they'll probably take on board what they saw. And I would imagine, you know, they'll have taken on board a few comments that they've got and maybe they'll come to something in the middle. But I don't know. Eamon obviously has played at that very high level. I don't know what his take on it is, but I do feel it needs to change in some way. But at the same time, I do feel as a supporter, and I'm maybe more of an analyst type supporter because I'm writing about it, but there is something that's good about watching a tactical game as well. But there's a tactical game, and then there's the pass the parcel of football for, mm-hmm. For ages. And just to finish off the initial point, I probably would Lavie's game with Glenn in the championship quarter final probably summed up everything the rules is about. In the first half, there was no score for 20 minutes. But like Brenton Maguire, Kelly Beggs, man, he was in charge of Lavie, but they were against a really strong breeze and they were against the All-Ireland champions. And it nearly worked. It kept them in the game. And in the second half, both teams went at it. In a complete contrast to the first half, the second half was absolutely brilliant. So the game doesn't need totally changed. And maybe the 3v3 situation is something that's maybe the biggest key of the lot for us. But I suppose my main takeaway point is we shouldn't rush into it until it's properly tested.
Okay. Well, listen, we'll go through the seven core enhancements and the impact they had in the games at the weekend, if we think if they're right or wrong to move forward with. But what was your feeling, Eamon, when after the Ulster had won the game on Saturday evening in penalties, four matches with the new rules, were you happy with it? Or do you think that this, maybe we're jumping too far ahead of ourselves with it?
You know, first of all, me personally, I would have preferred we grew organically. You know, we found a way. Some coaches worked in a way to try and open up the game. You know, bring that into the game, and that comes along naturally. I think what we're doing is we're throwing an awful lot, and it's nearly changing the whole, fundamentally changing the game. But you know, the majority of people at the minute are not happy with how the game has been played. And you have to go with that, you know. But there's no point going to games and people are only switching on for the last 10 minutes where there's a wee bit of an excitement. So we have to go with how the majority are feeling. And Jim Gavin has went back, done an awful lot of research here, thrown it all open, done a brilliant work, got the best people that we can get in the GAA, get the best people involved. And he's come up with something. And it has the potential to deliver on what people want. You know, I was just making a note there. Some of the feedback he's gone, people want to see the kick passing, long range scoring, goal scoring, high fielding, one-on-one contests. And from looking at it at the weekend there, that it has the potential to bring that. Now, if you take that all the way down to the club level, you know, you look at the kick out rule, you look at the three, keeping the three up, the three defenders and the three forwards up in the one half. You imagine down in Marygallen on a very, very windy day, some of the best keepers struggle to get it out mm-hmm. past that 45 metre arc. And then, you know, the 3v3 is going to be very hard to police for referees. So we have to just look at it from that perspective too, what's feasible, you know, what's feasible across the board, not just Centre County, because I don't think, you know, someone mentioned to me, we just go two ways here. Intercounty game, is it different? Make that a different animal, and the club just leave that as it is. And I don't think majority of club games, if you went through Donegal this year, they weren't great. So it's probably the club game that needs the rule changes more than anything.
And suppose looking at that, Eamon, it's looking at the grassroots and coaching it underage and developing that. And it's funny, I was just looking at scores at under-16s and minor finals at half-time, 2-1, 3-2, you know, score level. So it has to start at that grassroots if it's going to, you know, move on to senior football and on into county football as well. So that has to be thought about.
Well, my own personal thing in there is that you shouldn't be playing blanket defences or zonal defences at an underage from under 18, because you're developing. Your primary job as a coach throughout the clubs or throughout counties is develop the player. I remember, you know, with the Donegal under-20s, you know, Carol would have been head of the academy and I had a discussion with him, you know, we're going into this championship and I think we might go a wee bit defensive. And he says, what's the point of that? What player are you developing there? And we should have parked that. You know, that attitude started to creep into the club, you know, we'll one, forget about the player. And it starts there and we should be developing players. You look at, I think it was on the Saturday night, where there was a stage, because we've gone so used to keep possession, there's a stage where one of the Connacht players was inside the six-yard box on his own and nobody looked up. You know, was it the wrong type of players? I imagine if Rian O'Neill was on the ball, he would have spotted it. If you know, if a few other players were on the ball, they would have spotted it. But nobody spotted it for them few seconds now.
Yeah, they're all just finding their feet. And it seems to be the concern, Michael, is around what will happen at club level. Eamon mentioned Mahra Gallen on a one-day day. You won't have a linesman. The referee may turn up on his own in a league match. How do you go about policing all this? And that's where the real struggles are going to come, because I know in Donegal, it's difficult to get referees for matches, and I'm sure you know that in Derry as well. But you're going to add all this extra pressure on them, and they're under enough pressure as it is at the minute, Michael.
Yeah, I think there's an awful lot of pressure at the moment. And I actually did a feature for Gaelic Life, and Martin McNally did say, you know, at inter-county level, we do have the fourth official, and, you know, we're all aware of that, but like swap Mahra Gallen for Owen Begg, one of the windiest places for kick out rules, and obviously 3-on-3. You would like to think that 3-on-3 would eventually police itself, but you know, that's probably ambitious. But I don't know. I just think the 3-on-3
It will police itself, I think, Michael, at inter-county level. And it'll suit inter-county level, but trying to get self-policing at club level is going to be a lot more difficult.
It is. I actually sent a feedback to one of the people from FRC, and I says, if you can crack the 3v3 at a club level in some way, you've got it. But again, this is probably contradictory, because we do struggle for referees. Is there a scenario where maybe with the dissent thing, it'll eventually we'll find it easier to get referees? So if that would be the case, do they throw money at it and say, look, if we've got trainee referees coming through, where a referee takes a young referee with him and his only job is to count the 3-on-3, that's probably not realistic, but it's something that they really need to think about, to see can they make this happen, or whether a referee who will always have umpires at a club championship level, like you'll see them in Donegal, the guys who follow the ref everywhere. So maybe he goes just to a club league game and counts the 3v3, because I do appreciate it is difficult, you know, and then it leads to frustration. But I just think that when I think back to that Lavey and Glenn game, which I actually really, really enjoyed, but if 3-on-3 had been sort of part of that first half, we wouldn't have had a first half we had. And maybe maybe being unfair in that game, because the second half was absolutely top drawer, but it's that first half caginess that all of us see. We see it. Like, we go to a lot of games, that's what we see. But there needs to be something there, and Oisin, maybe you're hinting the fact that it maybe is impossible, but I just feel that's the key to try and get that on board.
We probably won't know how these rules go until they're road tested in that heat of the moment thing, where you have a 3v3 and one of the forwards decides, I'm going to take a chance here and go back with the play, and the referee fails to spot it, causes an uproar. And you need to be, it's grand doing these in Croke Park and, you know, the provincials and whatever, the pressure wasn't on. But when you're coming down the home straight and there's 2 points on place for a league or a championship spot, that's when you know what these rules going to be.
You mentioned the dissent there, Michael. So you did a bit, maybe it might encourage more referees to come in. And a lot of these rules are sort of to reward the forwards. But maybe are some of the defenders being hard done by? And I used the example with Eamon before we came on air. There was a Connacht player who didn't hand the ball back and didn't step away quick enough. And almost immediately, within, say, 2 seconds, a 50-metre free was given. They brought the ball 50 metres up the field, which maybe the referees have to take more sort of care in relation to defenders, to give them more time to get away and maybe place the ball. That probably is one of the unfair rules within it, and we've seen that at the weekend.
I think there probably needs to be some sort of common sense there. Like, if you are making an attempt to get away, like, I remember interviewing Niamh McLaughlin, and she said that's in the, you know, AFLW out there, and she couldn't believe it at the start, the 50 metre thing, and we joked, imagine this was in GAA and now it's here. I think, Oisin, if there's some sort of, you know, as I say, common sense there, but I do think it's something that needs to, like, some teams rely on that to buy themselves time to get people back. The other dissent thing, sorry, the other 50 metre thing is involving abuse of officials. It's something I feel very, very strongly about.
Which is fair enough. If you're going to bring it right up the field and abuse of officials, give the 50 metre free.
Exactly. I would put the caveat on that as well, that if if there's a team that gets punished for that, and say, for example, somewhere later in that game, that same referee gets a game-changing decision wrong, that referee then has to be called into account. And that referee maybe doesn't get a big championship game for the rest of the year or something. Yeah. Maybe that sounds harsh, but if players are being told that they need to respect the referees, then the referees' administrators need to take ownership of making sure that the referees are highest standard possible. Because it's, you know, the get respect, give respect thing is all well and good, but it does need to come both ways. But to answer your question, if there's a wee bit of common sense, but again, that's where referees have to sort of use their initiative and use their experience and use what they judge.
Yeah, Eamon, have you ever bought time?
You just took the words out of my mouth. I mean, you'd be sweating if these rules are coming in for you, Neil.
I'm glad I'm finished now. I agree, hon, because it is so hard to get refs. And I think that dissent one, you know, you take 50 metres for given dissent. Yeah. That'll quickly weed it out of the game. And, you know, we do. And I was the worst man going for it now. But
we're getting a confession here from him.
It did make it right. And, you know, without referees, we don't have a game. Like, yeah. And that's the reality of it.
Okay, well, we need to take an ad break here, so we do. The DL debate continue with more on these proposed new rules after these.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Welcome back to the DL Debate. Oisin Kelly sitting in for Brendan Devaney. Tonight on the programme, we've got GA writer with the Gaelic Life, Michael McMullen, joining us. And indeed, 2012 All-Ireland winner with Donegal, Eamon McGee is in studio, as is Páraic Hulfordy. Páraic?
Suppose Eamon McGee, as we know, he was unbelievable in the full back line. Oisin tactically moved up into the full forward line. He would love this this potential new scoring outside the 40-metre arc. Him and 2 points. You'd be licking your lips at that if that was the case.
If you could hand pass it over the bar from 40 metres, I'd be all right now. But no, listen, again, it goes back to, do you want to promote that? So we nearly became sick of seeing, do you know, the scoring area?
Yeah.
Where it was like the... every shot, and it was just everything was around that D. You know, teams have become so robotic, and do not shoot unless you're inside that score, the scoring zone, as we called it. And now that's rewards. If you want to have a go, if you're the likes of, we had, you know, Oran McNeilis in Gidor, and you know, you had Kieran Thompson and Niall O'Donnell, these boys that could actually, their scoring zone was far different from Eamon McGee's scoring zone. So you want to encourage them to have a pop. And I think that this is a brilliant one, just to reward that, because you know, if you sit in, and again it's about what Jim Gavin and his crew are doing, is they're trying to open it up, you know, become faster, more flowing game, and if you want to open it up, you need to press out them shooters and leave space in behind for, you know, they've limited amount of players now with the three keeping three back. And Which leads into it, you know, people are saying keep 3-4 of these rules, but from my understanding, from listening to Gavin, from listening to Fitzmaurice, is that these are all interconnected. That you need to go, you need to take them in as a package.
And you see what Rian O'Neill could do the last night for Ulster, you know, just getting them into that zone, and he was well able to take those opportunities.
100%. And if you sit back in a low block, as we've seen a few teams, you know, was your all them defenders sitting in, and you leave the likes of Rian O'Neill, Kieran Thompson from Donegal free, once is bad enough, twice that's a 4 point gap opened up, you're in bother, like, so you've got to be pressing out.
Michael, it does really promote those particular players, as Eamon has pointed out, you know, to take those shots on. It can only be a good thing.
I think it can. And if you think back to the Ulster final, and now, I'm not sure where the arc would have fell with some of Niall O'Donnell's shots, but like, it was one end of the game for Donegal, and it was a brilliant skill, and it's obviously something that he's exceptionally good at. And it probably will pull defences out, and that's where I think that they need to revisit the score of the tally for a goal. I think it's better staying at 3, because, and again, it needs to be tested properly, but if teams start to come out, as Eamon says, to stop the 2-pointers, naturally there is more space because it's only 11 v 11 at the back, or 12 if your keeper's up. So there will be more room. But I would fear that if you've got a team and they see the 4 points for a goal, they'll automatically defend even more with the less players that they do have, and I think it would end up a mess. So maybe the scoring zone is okay, Porrick, but I wouldn't be big in agreement of the 2 points for a 45, because you know, imagine a defender makes a really good block, or the goalie makes an unbelievable save. He doesn't even get rewarded for making that save, you know, because he's going to hand a 2 point opportunity, because a block and a save are skills in themselves. So why do defenders and goalkeepers get punished?
You know, and for something like that. I was going to come in on that too, Michael. I wouldn't be rewarding a freeze or 45s with 2 points, that it should stay mm-hmm. as a point, because it just goes back to what Michael was saying there. You know, sometimes you make an amazing block and it goes over the sideline.
Because yeah. you have to put yourself in the position of a defender in these rules, and they're not being tailored towards a defender, Michael, so they're not.
They're not, but at the same time, there was 10 years worth of football that wasn't tiered towards forwards, you know, at the same time. But we can't throw everything out. We have to try and make it more even for everybody. And I don't know what you're taking this, Eamon, is, but again, the advanced mark where somebody catches the ball inside, like I think was it Matthew Tierney was brilliant at it. And it's a brilliant skill we love seeing. But if Matthew Tierney gets that shot and somebody like Sean Patton makes an unbelievable save, I don't think Sean Patton should be punished by then having a tap over free. You know, if Tierney makes the catch, takes on the shot, well then that's his choice. And if the keeper makes the save, he shouldn't be going back out. Likewise, if a defender happens to just pick his pocket when he goes to shoot, you know, you should, you know, as much as you're trying to reward forwards, you know, we have to reward good defending, and we probably have to get back to the situation where there is 1v1 defending. You know, and I'd be right and friendly with Sean Marty Lockhart, and the guy would know the level of preparation he went to, and he and Chrissy McCaig's the same. They absolutely pride themselves on keeping people scoreless. That's their thing. So they should be allowed that type of battle the same way as everybody else. And I think that's maybe lost. But at the same time, we can't go back to the way it is now, where teams like Sammy Bradley, who plays for Slotnail, Mark Doran played him at right half back this year, just plain and simple, because he would be lost up front.
Yeah.
So you want to get the situation where your playmakers are able to do it as well.
Yeah. I was thinking, I had a couple of conversations around Michael Murphy, and we know what Michael Murphy can do. Imagine putting Michael Murphy in the field in Croke Park last weekend, Michael, with one-on-ones instead of three and four defenders hanging off him. It would have a huge, huge, well, you could say advantage and benefit, but it would be top class to watch. So it would.
It's funny because I was thinking about Murphy and when these rules, and I remember having a conversation. I don't know who we were playing now, but we're going up on the bus, and the system Murphy says, we're looking at the results around Ulster, and we says, would you back yourself against the fullback from another county? And he says, I'd probably back myself against most fullbacks if I had 1v1. And for that second, I kind of nearly felt sorry for him. But, you know...
He's never had that.
No. He's never...
Once he went into senior and the way the defensive system started to play out.
Michael he had it in Mayo in 2012 in All-Ireland Final for about 10 minutes, and then they copped on. We can't believe in this man one-on-one now. But and listen, the same. You look at that goal he got in the 2012 Final. How many times should we have seen that more? Because, you know, he couldn't do it because there's two, maybe times three people just sitting back in that hole.
Yeah, tagging him, exactly. And that's why we had to take him out to the midfield area. He was put in, put out. But the goal, I suppose we've touched on it there, 4 points for a goal. Look, I don't know, Eamon, have you scored many goals, have you?
Nah, not enough. I don't agree with it, because you could be in a situation where the game could just run away. You know, you have three goals.
Seen that in the first game on Saturday night.
Yeah.
The game ran away. I think Ryan mentioned that on the TV as well, right? Ryan McHugh, where the problem is with these goals, that if you get early goals, there's 4 points. You could two quick goals, you can find yourself 8 points to no score up. game. And particularly if it's counties that are you're playing weaker counties in the championship,
the game be out of touch after 20 minutes. And even if you're in like balanced teams, the dynamic changes in your head, and maybe that'll change come the years where you get used to the rules. But the dynamic will change, the dynamic changes in your head where you're 8 points down and you're trying things that you probably wouldn't be trying, and you're trying to make that gap up now. So maybe basketball had the same issue when they took in the 3 points, that, you know, things will get too far ahead, and they've adapted all right. But for me, for now, I don't like the 4 points for the goal.
Yeah. Porrick, a lot of talk around the fitness of players under these new rules, because it's a lot more testing. I think Niall Morgan even described it as it's a lot more taxing on them because they're covering a lot more ground. How do coaches, do you think, go about dealing with that? Because are they going to have to get fitter?
Sand dunes.
Jeez, don't say that. Don't say that word. Don't say that word again. It's bringing flashbacks there.
I suppose Neil Gramley came out with it. Yeah. He was, and you're thinking he's probably, you know, he's just after winning All Ireland, a very, very fit individual. He's openly said it was very taxing. But again, as that game develops a wee bit more, maybe bringing in that level of fitness, where does it go? Because, you know.
But where can it go? You know, you're looking at lads that are working during the day. And we do, now, anecdotally, injuries have gone up. I'd love someone to put, facts-based, evidence-based study there and say, injuries have skyrocketed here since this modern game or whatever. Because when I started off, there wasn't as many hamstrings, there wasn't as many, you know, pulls and all that. Yeah. But now, when teams are in S&C, the cruciates is the big one now. Teams are doing more S&C than they've ever done, and we're still seeing a lot of injuries. So I don't know how much you can keep raising the bar for. Well, it's different if you weren't working, if you're, you know, pro or semi pro or whatever.
But the answer to that, Eamon, and you know, in Gidor, and we know, in all the clubs across the county, they're all training like inter-county teams now. The club teams, like the inter-county teams, were training back a couple of years ago. You know, so the level of fitness has increased so much. You know, but That's probably something.
Rolling subs.
That's another one to deal with that.
It was touted as a you know, this was one of the criticisms given to Jim Gavin. I think it was Jim Gavin or Famous Fitz Morris, and this says we'll potentially look at rolling subs. Again, you go down the last lap of a championship game, and you're relying on, you know, rolling subs, and did he come onto the field? And it's just so much pressure on referees. Yeah.
Michael, is rolling subs an idea to go down a bit an addition to try and help players with fatigue during these games if the rules are imposed?
In theory, yes, but you're thinking Kilmacud Crooks versus Glenn, you know, Craigan versus Lavjarig, you know, you're back to fourth officials and pressure and something else to deal with. So I'm not sure. And Eamon touched on, like, how much further can we go in terms of conditioning? Like, I think we've got to the stage where something's going to have to give, but it's probably not a debate for this show tonight, but, you know, how more professional, and as Porrick touched on, club teams are the same. Yeah. You know, we all know good club teams are playing at that level, so I don't know, maybe it's just teams having a game plan that maybe takes the sting out of it for a while. It's high octane for a while, and then you step off. I don't know, but as a supporter, it was definitely more entertaining to watch. So maybe Oisin with three men up front are rotated. Maybe that's the way coaches will get around it. So here, go you into the inside line for 10 minutes and take your breather. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think?
There's another question, Eamon. Are we going to lose a bit of physicality out of the game with these rules?
We probably will for a while, but, you know, the game will adapt, and you know, defenders will just have to get up to it, and you'll see, you know, one of the good things, you'll see that 1v1 battle, where the 3v3, the three that stay up, have to just to get on with and deal with the space. And forwards will, because defenders now, they kind of struggle with a wee bit of space when they don't have that, you know, sweeper, or, you know, they don't have that zonal defence, and for a year or two they'll struggle, but then they'll adapt, and you know, they'll get tighter, and you know, you'll be able to mark. And I just, I found that with in sport in general, like, the game will react to the situation. You know, the need will come, and the players will get on top of things.
Well, can you envisage more goals now being scored in matches with these with these new rules?
100% It's open. There's space there. There will be more goals, and it's just,
we've seen a lot of hand passing along the edge of the arc in games. It was going over and back, so it was. But what I was thinking of going, right, there's a bit of space ahead. Nobody was coming sort of running off the shoulder, either to the left or the right-hand side, making their way into the space. It was done every now and then. But I think when inter-county managers...
But there's been very little coaching done. Yeah. You know, they've been showing the rules, that's but the next layer of the thing.
You could see it there.
You could see it. There's the potential of... And that's the definite thing about it, whatever we... We have to just be positive about it, be open to change, because I'm sure if you took a poll between Highland Radio listeners, you know, were they happy with the Donegal Championship, the fair Donegal Championship, I'd imagine the majority of them are going to say they weren't happy with what they've seen, and they haven't been happy. You know, I was in that playing bubble where, you know, I didn't need to watch it, and I was happy enough. And
we had a commentator on it, like, you know. So
you sat to chat about the Twins for 20 minutes. And
did you get any sleep last night?
And the thing about it, if yous aren't happy, and yous haven't been happy for the last few years, then you know the GAA, in fairness to them, they're making a change here. So let's roll with it. Let's see how it goes. I was happy enough with the way it was. But they're here, so let's be positive about them, and let's see, can they bring them changes that change the game that we want?
Okay, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll go through 8-7-1 and get a yay or a nay from Eamon and Michael, and we'll talk about some of the other big stories, including North London Shamrocks, who won the London senior football title for the first time yesterday.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
And you're welcome back to the DL Debate. Okay, a year and a on these seven enhancements. I'll actually start, so Will Park. Okay, we'll go with the first one. Michael McMullen, the 1v1 throw-in, proposing that the two players be on either sidelines for the start of the game. Are you in favour of it or not?
Blows the free when it's a free on 2v2. I'm not in favour of it, but if referees aren't going to give it, we need 1v1.
Yeah, okay. Well, there was a stat, something like 68% of throw-ons ended up in frees. Are you for that 1v1, Eamon?
No. I wouldn't be for it now, but... No,
I'll get into lying on a shoulder, and
I'll just say no. I would pass on that one.
Okay, are you in favour of the solo and go, the toe tap and go forward immediately?
Yeah, I am in favour of it. Surely, you know, weirdly, because I've been in the situation, and you know, we've seen it so many times where you stop the man to foul and just take the momentum out of it, give him an option then just to keep going, and I think it goes back to, what do we want to see from our games? Do we want to reward cynicism and all that crack, or do we want to just to see the thing flowing and definitely be for it? Yeah,
Michael, are you okay with the solo and go?
100%.
Yeah, so both in favour of that. Parik, you're on the next one.
Yeah, I suppose the 3v3, concede a 20 metre free if you don't leave three up. What do you think of that one, Eamon?
100%. I'm for it. See the logic in it, and I understand what they're trying to do with it. It brings so much to the game. You know, people want to see the 1v1 battles, and they want to see more space. So it kind of, not that it so much nullifies the banker, but it makes it harder just to mark all them pockets of space in the zone.
And your tactical mind there, Michael McMullen, up in Derry, would you like to go with the 3v3?
Yes, and agree with him, and it won't end it. But with less people, it'll give attacking teams a better chance. And I just think the GAA need to find some sort of way to make it work at club level, with clubs maybe accepting it themselves that they need to change and maybe be more willing to make it work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The score, and I think we all agreed in our chat that the goal be 3 points.
Yeah.
Kick from outside the arc, 2. Inside is 1, but for 45s and a freeze, that it's 1 point. Is that right, Michael?
Yeah, the freeze, will that lead, if a freeze only 1 point as opposed to 2, does that lead to more fouling? It possibly will, but I think it's, you're better keeping it as simple as possible. And 2 points for a kick from play.
There's a bit of tinkering in the scoring, is there, Eamon?
No, I don't like, and maybe that's the traditionalist in me. I'm getting out of fashion now, but...
You've been out of fashion for a while, so
you haven't started that today or yesterday.
But no, I just don't see the need to be tinkering with the scores. I like the two points.
Yeah,
I like the logic behind that and what it rewards, but...
Paddy Burns actually would keep the scoring as it is. Leave the 3-3-3.
Keeping the 2 points for a kick from play? I mean, from
no, I would keep it, Michael, but not from the freeze. And
yeah, same as that.
With the goals, I'm not a fan of the 4 points for a goal.
Yeah, I think we're all the same there, I think.
The new advanced attack mark, kick from outside the 45 to the inside 20. Would you agree with that one, Eamon?
I would back up what Michael said in it now. No matter what people have given out about the mark, but it's actually promoted more kicking. And I just don't like the way they're holding the player's hand now. Or say, I like the idea, right, I'll take the mark. Do I take the man on or do I take the mark? And that decision has to be made in the split second. I like that whole concept. I don't like the idea where you'd get the ball and you can go for goal, and if it doesn't work out, take it back. I think that's just, as it says, holding the hand and forcing the issue. So I'd maybe work with it a wee bit and keep the mark, but not the advantage rule of it.
Yeah. Michael, your thoughts?
Exact same. It's like playing 10-pin bowling with the what do you call them things at the side? The cushions.
Kid barriers.
Yeah. I'm just thinking here, will the FRC take on board your thoughts tonight? Will we send them a copy of the show, will we?
I'm sure they're listening now. Jim Gavin and Eamon Fitz will be listening for...
Week. Brendan says Michael Murphy listens on every Monday night. But anyway, keep going. What are we on to next? The kick out, yeah. So it must go beyond the 40-metre mark. Players can go inside the 20 and inside the arc, but can't touch the ball inside the arc. Now, if you interfere with the player's kick out, the ball is brought forward to the halfway line. So the kick out must go beyond the 40-metre arc. We've seen at the weekend that players or the opposition that didn't want to push up on the keeper's kick out, that they were quite happy to let the keeper's kick out go just beyond the arc and give it to the defenders and then move it up the field.
I like the idea because, and again, a lot of this stuff is good in theory, but I just don't know how the kick out's going to work. If you have a young fella in goals for, says, going to Mary Gallen or Mbeg, as Michael alluded to there, if you have a young fella and he just doesn't have a big kick in him, What do you do? Does the referee just have to say, we'll let him kick it out 20 yards and when the one that's strong? So I know what they're saying. They want to get that high field, but I thought the high fielding was okay. It wasn't something that was gone from the game or was in any way endangered. And I think the actual long kick was coming back because teams were so good at pressing that what keepers were doing was saying just kick it out, and the long kick was actually coming in. It didn't need to be, so I'll go with it.
Michael?
I'm going to go against it. I like the theory behind it, but it's the wind I worry about. And I was at an under-14 girls match a wee while ago at a really breezy venue, and the keeper couldn't kick it 10 metres.
But I think they're going to factor this in for underage, but Michael, has someone said that along the way? That
it doesn't even need to be underage. Yeah. It's senior. Yeah. Like, there's some keepers in senior level that can't.
It's going to be tough.
I remember down Mary Gallen where our keeper, and he would have a good boot in him, and I was in the full back. He kicked the ball out, and I was actually contesting the high ball because it just blew right back in on top of me. And I just don't know how that's going to work.
I think it'll be leave it messy to you, man, to watch.
And the thing too, people don't realise that if we're going to share these, you know, with the ladies, with hurling, with Gaelic football, does that line need to be pulled out every game? Because, you know, that 40-metre arc, How does that work with mixing it in with the three different codes? So that's another aspect of it.
Yeah, the last one, Park.
The last one, back pass only to in the keeper's own large rectangle. No back pass in their own half, but are allowed in the opposition's half. So that's another one for the keepers to think about.
Would Sean Patton, would Niall Morgan be happy with the back pass rule? Michael?
I would like to see it stay, but I don't think it will. In theory, I like it, but I just think it's going to go against everything that we're trying to change if you go over the halfway. And I think that the main purpose of the keeper is to save shots, catch balls, make interceptions. And if we take away the kick out where they're allowed to play if I take away the kick out rule, it doesn't have to clear the 40-yard arc. They still have a big part to play, the art of playing the ball short. So my answer is, as much as I don't like saying this, I'm going to have to keep the keepers at home, because I think the 11v12 will be something that teams will manipulate and to spoil the game.
Okay, we'll just leave the last one, the rules, to you. The back pass, Eamon, what would you do with that?
I was actually dead against it now, but when you see Morgan, who's probably one of the best players in the field on Friday. And I like the idea of teams having to try and work against it, you know, because not every keeper is going to be able to tick the boxes of getting the ball out, shot stopper, you know, being comfortable on the ball, being able to score. Not everybody's like Niall Morgan. I think he's a little one-off in terms of the way he's dynamic. He's able to kick the ball and he's good in the ball. So, you know, do you take a punt to be playing an outfield player in goals who can't kick the ball out and suffer that way? So I like the way that it can be tweaked now, but initially I was dead against it because we were limiting keepers, but based on what I've seen from Morgan, I'll say, yeah, we'll go with it.
Yeah. Listen, we're into the closing 4 minutes of the programme. Friend of yours, Peter Wetherill, a couple of Donegal boys, you know, involved in the North London Shamrocks. They're not on the programme tonight, let's be honest about it, because they're celebrating. So
I heard calls put out, Park, didn't you?
I was chatting to Kieran Green. I was speaking to Nathan McElwain from Tierman and that. And the boys, I suppose they're enjoying the celebrations, and why would they? First time in their history, won 11-1-8 against St Kieran's. A huge amount of Donegal people involved in this, Austin. Great story, and just disappointing we couldn't get the lads on tonight. Michael Carroll from your own club as well.
Carroll's there, yeah.
You know, so you're looking at Peter Wetherill, manager. Of course, you have Brian Flanagan there from Killy Beggs. Kieran Green, the St Union's man, of course, in the background as well. And Tiernan Deemer Alcorn as the physio. So strong connections. Then you've Nathan from Tiernan, Liam Kelly from St Michael's, Sean McGonigal from the Rossa, Conor McGonigal from Fannett Gales, Michael Carroll from Gidor playing midfield, Alton Boyle from Nivora, Joe McGill from St Mary's a Convoy, Daniel Clark from Niamh Colm Kill there, Oisin, and Kieran Diver from Mavill in the starting lineup.
You should have called them Donegal Shamrocks.
I said Donegal
Shamrocks. There's a good article now for you, Michael, in Gaelic Life this week. The Donegal boys taking over London.
I think we should get an exhibition between them and St Union's at Maharagallan to test the rules. and a feed of pints after.
I'll ref the game. it's good for there's a lot of work being put in. I think there was, you know, Michael Boyle, who we know, Michael as well, he's put in a good bit of work in there, and obviously there's men behind them that have the structures in place, and they were in an intermediate club not that long ago, so it's good to see, and it's well important for lads to have that.
Huge important, and I think like there's six or seven works with 3D as well, which is originally from Glencombe Kill as well, so there's huge Donegal support over there as well, so good victory for the lads.
Yeah. Listen, Michael, we're just going to finish off with you because there's a couple of big finals coming up. Trillick against Errigal Kieran, the Tyrone final put back to this coming Friday due to the weather, and we've also got a number of finals in Derry taking place with Newbridge against Glen, so there's tasty games on the horizon this weekend in Derry and Tyrone.
Yeah, I suppose starting with Tyrone, you've Trillick and Errigal, and it's obviously the title hasn't been retained since 2005, so I fancy Trillick to win it. I liked the look of them last year, and they've obviously brought in Matty Donnelly back from injury, which is an unbelievable addition to any team, so might go to it actually on Friday. I think it's Friday, so Dara Canavan struggling with an injury, and there's a guy, Daniel Donnelly, who was an excellent marker. So if Dara does make it back, I look forward to that matchup alone, because he was very good last year, that fella Donnelly. So I'll maybe just give Trillick the edge, and that would take them to title number 10.
It's hard to win back-to-back in Tyrone. Glenn against Newbridge. Newbridge certainly one of the form teams in the Derry Senior Football Championship, but Glenn showed their quality beating Sloughneil in the semi-final. Who's going to come through that one, Michael?
I think you have to make Glenn favourites.
You're going to go with your neighbours?
Aye, they're going for four in a row. It's only ever been done twice before by Balahi and Sloughneil. Newbridge in a first final in 33 years, 35 years since they won it. It's just a pity they don't have Paddy McGrogan available, like probably one of the most consistent players across Ireland this past few years with Derry. So it's just imagine he was fully fit, and it would just add to what they have. But they're not going to be going away anytime soon. They have a couple more players coming from the Derry minor team, and they're a brilliant example of how a team can build a squad over, you know, a decade with a couple of young lads every year. But I just feel that it's Glenn that'll come through again, and that will, it's not the last time we'll be talking about Newbridge at the business end, I don't think.
No. Any word of a manager up there, Michael, for Derry?
I thought you weren't going to ask, because I've nothing to tell you.
Good.
I know. I think we've had so many rumours, Eamon, but with no white smoke.
No, don't be in any rush to point one, will that?
Listen, Michael, we're going to have to leave it there. Time's caught up us. Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life. Eamon McGee, thanks for coming into the studio, and Pádraig Colford as well. Thanks for joining us once again on another edition of the DL Debate. We have to wait and see if Brendan gets back from New York for next week. We'll give him another couple of days.
So, hopefully.
Yeah,
okay. Have a very good evening.